to have you with us. It doesn't actually like go quite like this usually, so usually we have power there, but we're so glad you're with us. And in a seat right in front of you, there are connect cards, and we would love it to get if you would just grab one of those, fill that out, and then drop it in the back. There's a little box on the back table, and on your way out, if you would just drop that in there. And if there's any way that we can pray for you, you can write that on the back. We would love to be able to pray for you. So thank you for being with us this morning. And Daniel chapter 3. We know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Many of us heard it, you know, from our childhood. And so I'm not going to share the entire story. But we know how King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, erected a gold idol that was 90 feet high. And he loved this thing so much that he decided to tell everybody, all peoples, all nations, all tongues, when the music played, that they were to bow down and to worship this idol. And so when the music played, everybody bowed down and worshiped the idol, except for three young Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, one of the motivations for everyone else bowing down and worshiping is that Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't worship, I'm going to throw you into a furnace. And that's really good motivation for most people to worship. But these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had courage and conviction, and they refused to bow. When Nebuchadnezzar gave them a second chance, they said, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, we don't even have to pray about this. We will not bow down to your idol. We serve God, and he is able to deliver us from the furnace. But even if he doesn't, we are not going to bow down to your idol. And so Nebuchadnezzar, it says, his face twisted with rage, and he had the furnace heated seven times hotter. So hot that when the guys that threw them into the furnace got near the furnace, they died. And so Nebuchadnezzar looks into the furnace and he expects to find the charred ashes of these young men. But instead, we read in verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. And Father, we pray for your anointing upon this word. We ask you, Father, to speak to our hearts, to lift our gaze upward to the God who is able to deliver us. But even if you don't, you will deliver us safely into the kingdom of your Son through faith in Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. They call them out, and it says the fire had no power over them. I mean, their hair wasn't singed, their clothes weren't damaged, and it says there was no smell of fire on them, no smell of smoke on them. They didn't smell like what they just went through. You know, when we go through a trial, when we go through a furnace, when we go through some kind of a hard time, we often smell like what we went through. And I'm not talking hygiene. I'm talking about heart. I'm talking about attitude. I'm talking about we come out of these things. A lot of times there's a smell on us. Someone hurts us and we begin to smell like mistrust. We don't trust people. We're disappointed in, you know, we pray prayers and God doesn't answer them the way we want. And all of a sudden there's a smell of unbelief, of cynicism. Yeah, God, I tried that. We begin to smell like what we went through. We go through a traumatic event. And we begin to smell like fear. We begin to smell like fear because of that experience. We smell like what we've been through. Now we know, as I shared last week, the devil is an arsonist. He starts fires. He starts fires all over. He shoots fiery darts at us to tempt us. And his goal through all this fire, through bringing trials, kind of like Job, his goal is to see us lose our faith. His goal is to watch our faith in God burn up and be destroyed. He also wants to see our lives be destroyed. That's what the devil does. And he wants us to smell like smoke when we come out the other side. But God uses fires. God uses trials. God uses hard times to purify our faith, to refine our faith, to make it stronger. And as we walk with Him, we can come out on the other side not smelling like the trial we've been through. Peter, in his epistle, he writes to a church that is in a furnace of suffering, of affliction. But there's no smell of smoke coming off of this church. He writes this in verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love." Isn't that beautiful? There's grief. We go through trials. We go through loss. There's grief. But if you were to smell this church, by the way, I got into trouble once for saying this, but every church smells. It does. You smell a church. When you're in the church, you smell. And I'm not talking about the person next to you didn't shower this morning. I'm talking about the atmosphere, the culture, if you were to get near this church, they're suffering, but you smell it in and you don't smell bitterness. You don't smell, oh, poor me. You smell, he says, joy coming off of this church. You smell faith that has been refined in the fire and purified. You smell love for Jesus. That's what Peter says. And I'm glad he says various trials. Various trials. Guaranteed, you have been through trials. You look at your history, you've been through trials. Some might be in a trial right now. And I guarantee all of us will go through trials in the future. So you can't say, well, this message doesn't apply to me. I've already been through trials. You'll have more. You'll have more. And they're various. And they have different heat levels. Talking about fire, talking about furnaces. There's different heat levels. But there are trials, friendships that go up in smoke. Marriages that burn to ashes. A loved one is diagnosed with cancer, or you get that call. And life changes. The life you thought is burned. You lose a job. We step out into a new venture, all excited, and it falls on its face, and we fail. We're all going to go through them. You've got yours, you've had yours, you will have yours, I've got mine, I will have more. We come out on the other side. Various trials, various intensities, and often we smell like what we went through. And God wants to take us through so that we don't smell like the trial. Trusting God means that in the fire, I want to share three things we believe in the trial, in the fire. First of all, and maybe most important, believe this, Jesus is the fourth man. He walks through the fire with us. Jesus is the fourth man who walks through the fire with us. Nebuchadnezzar says to the guys around us, hey, didn't we throw three men in? Why do I see four men? And the fourth looks like the Son of God. And that's because Jesus is the fourth man who walked in that trial, that furnace with them. He walked with them. I love the image. They didn't even try to get out. They're just walking around. What do you do when you're walking in a furnace? But they're just walking around. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are walking with Jesus, and they're just talking with them, and they're just fellowshipping with them until Nebuchadnezzar calls them out. When we go through trials, when we go through fiery furnaces, guess who's in there with us? When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, He says, I'm never leaving you. I am never forsaking you. When you're in the trial, when you're in the furnace, when it gets really hot, I am there with you. In fact, the hotter it gets, the more it burns away all the other things we lean on, all the other things that we trust in and we go to for help and strength. The crutches get burned away. The pleasures and the other things that we, the distractions, they don't distract anymore. In the fiery furnace, that's where God refines our faith and purifies it as we walk with Jesus, and we're like, not even people can comfort the inner turmoil I'm going through, but Jesus, you're here with me. It's such a beautiful thing to draw close to Jesus in the fiery furnace. Even in the mild furnaces, it can be a beautiful time to bring us closer to Jesus. When I was a teenager in youth group, we went on a youth retreat. And I don't remember all the details, but I remember it was just a hard time. I was going through inner insecurities and fears and struggling with those things. And we went on this retreat, and there was a woman there who wasn't part of our youth group. I think she was a little older. Her name was Darlene. And she was she played guitar, and she sang beautifully. And she wrote a song, and she would play it for us. And I had her play the song over and over again. It was called Be My Security. And it just hit me where I was at very deeply. I'd have her play it over and over again. And I don't remember it all anymore, but I remember the chorus went something like this, be my security, my strength in adversity, and when everything in the world lets me down, be more than the world to me. And that just ministered, because that's where I felt like I was at. I had nothing else that was kind of strengthening me and propping me up. But in my heart, there was a stirring of faith that Jesus could be more than the world to me. Jesus is that fourth man who walks in the fiery furnace with us and fellowships with us. The second point I want to make from this is that God wants to replace the smell of smoke with the aroma of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul writes this, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. We are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. Now, listen, I wish I could say that we were all like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we come out of the trial and there's no damage and there's no smell of smoke and we're all good. I wish I could say that, but at least for me, that's not the case. There is often a process of struggle to get to that point. And sometimes I don't know that we succeed. Sometimes I smell like smoke, is what I'm saying, on the other side. And you might too. And this is actually, let me just say, self-awareness is a really great thing. And sometimes we don't know what we smell like. We don't know that we're giving off, something other than the aroma of Christ. And so it's good to say, what do I smell like? Where have my attitudes gone? What is my heart like giving out? When I find somebody that I trusted or that I thought was a friend, when they burn me, and I've only had minor burns, I know, I'll bet you there are people here who have had third-degree burns by people they trusted. But even the mild burns, I'm walking around smelling like smoke. I'm struggling. I struggle in those times with smelling like bitterness. Can you relate to that? Bitterness. I'm bitter at what they did. Sometimes I know my heart, because I watch my heart. I observe. Again, I think that's a healthy thing. Sometimes what tries to creep into my heart is the smell like vengeance. I want to see them get theirs. I'm not out to take in vengeance, so I'm not like, you know, doing something, but I'm like, I just would love to see them get theirs. And you know what that is? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not the aroma of Christ. That ain't the aroma of Christ. And so, when my mind wants to replay again and again, then they did this and then they did that, and how dare they do this and how dare they do that, I am replaying, and that smoke is going to begin to come off of me. And I don't want that smoke coming off of me. The only way to remove, the only way to replace, that is with the aroma of Christ, with the aroma of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the sweetest words to the Christian. Forgiveness. We live by forgiveness. Christ came to pay for our sins that we might be forgiven. We live in forgiveness. He purchased forgiveness for us. The only reason we as sinners are accepted by God and brought into heaven in fellowship with God is because of forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the sweetest words to the Christian. But here's what we need to remember. Forgiven people forgive people. If we've been forgiven, we must then forgive. And the Bible says that so many different places, so many different ways. Forgiven people forgive people. Forgiving doesn't mean we deny the hurt. Doesn't mean we deny the hurt. It means we absorb the hurt. We acknowledge the pain and we absorb it instead of making them pay one way or another. It acknowledges the debt and then it tears that debt up. And that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, that is Jesus, having forgiven us all our trespasses, all of them. How did he do that? Verse 14. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Our debt to God was canceled on the cross. Our debt to God was nailed to the cross and paid for. So when he said, it is finished, the debt has been paid, rip that debt up. I don't owe God anything anymore except the debt of love, to love him and worship him, trust him. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He tore up that record of debt that stood against us. So we are able to tear up lesser debts of those who sin against us. Now, I want to be clear. In serious cases, that does not mean all consequences of that sin are removed. If someone, and I mentioned this last week, if someone breaks your trust, especially if they break it more than once, the consequence is you withhold trust. You withhold trust until and unless, over time, they're able to rebuild that trust. But even that is done with a heart of grace towards them. That, man, I hope you can get there. I want to cheer you on to a place where you can rebuild trust. If someone is abusive, I believe it's right to separate yourself from the abusive context. You still pray for them, but you don't submit yourself to the abuse. That wouldn't be good for them, and it's not good for you. But you don't walk around smelling like, I will never forgive them. I hate them. I'm filled with all this rage against them. Listen, they have to deal with what they're doing with God, but forgiveness at least frees you from walking around with them in your head rent-free. Them in your heart turning it bitter, sour. I don't trust anybody. They hurt me. I don't trust anybody. We can walk free as we forgive, so that the smoke of bitterness doesn't choke us out. It's the Holy Spirit that works in us to help us smell more like Jesus. And we've all got a long ways to go. Breathe it in, guys. You know, spouses, you know your spouse has a long ways to go. Amen? But the Holy Spirit's working in us to help us smell more like Jesus. And we are to work with one another to help us grow in love and compassion. As we trust the Lord, we smell more like Jesus. My last point is this. God wants to use us. Title of this message is From Burnt to Blessed. He wants to use us to help others go from burnt to blessed. Listen to Nebuchadnezzar, man. He's burning with anger, and you got to worship my idol. But then listen to what happens. When he sees these three men, he calls them out. This is what happens. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is that the God he was saying before? You stop serving him, you worship my idol? Yeah, same God. Who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and set aside the king's command, and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any other god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins. Okay, so he hasn't gotten the whole picture of God, you know. But at least now he's tearing people limb to limbs for Jesus, you know. And don't come to me and say, I've got that kind of ministry. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted. There's them. They went from burnt to blessed. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They got promoted. They came out blessed. They didn't get burned. They got blessed. But Nebuchadnezzar was a changed man. This is the beginning of a mini revival in Babylon and a revival of some sort in Nebuchadnezzar. We'll see that work continue on with Daniel when Daniel is caught bowing down to God when they were told not to. And he's like, Daniel, you okay? He didn't want it, but he gave us a decree. His heart is being touched by the living God. They're not the only ones who came out from burnt to blessed. Nebuchadnezzar also was touched by God. We live in a world of fires. The enemy, Jesus said, comes to kill, rob, and destroy. He does it often through fire, through flames, through furnaces. And there's a really good chance the people who burn you were burnt by someone else. Burned people burn people. Hurt people hurt people. When we smell like smoke, we leave the smell of smoke on other people. If you are, and I want to say this with compassion because I know what it is to struggle with this stuff, but if your heart is struggling with being bitter, being angry, you're probably leaving that smell on people that are close to you. The smell of unforgiveness. You can even influence people. We can influence our kids. If we give forgiveness, they learn the value of forgiveness. If we give grace, they learn the value of grace. If we give bitterness, there's a really good chance, even if it's not against them, they're going to walk around saying, yeah, they hurt me. I'm never going to forgive them either. I'm going to get back at them. And what happens is they now have secondhand smoke on them. We don't want to do that. We want to leave the aroma of Christ. I appreciate songs that are well-crafted. And I have to say, you know, where's Trey? Trey here? There's Bella. I used to give Trey and his family a hard time because they listened to country music. I used to give them such a hard time. But I'm actually beginning to enjoy country music, and a lot of those songs have better lyrics than a lot of other songs. So Kelsey Ballerini has a song titled Secondhand Smoke, and I want to read in part. It's about the fear she has that her parents' struggles are going to become secondhand smoke in her life and affect her. And she writes this: sometimes I would hear them screaming when they thought that I was sleeping. They just fight about whatever. I don't know if they ever had a reason. Am I the product of a problem that I couldn't change? Got his eyes, got her hair. So do I get their mistakes? I know that you can't walk across a bridge that's already burned. So what am I supposed to do? I can't help that they chose to breathe it in, but I don't want to choke on that secondhand smoke. There's enough smoke in the world. There is enough smoke in the world. There's smoke of hatred and anger and bitterness and division and injustice and oppression and racism and all kinds of, and lying and deception and cheating and stealing. And there's so much smoke in the world. God has a better plan for us and for our lives than to spread smoke. If we are willing and we trust Him, God will use us to spread the fragrance of Christ in a smoke-filled world, to a world that needs Jesus so much. Not only does God want to move our lives from burnt to blessed, but He wants to use us to move other people, help them to move from burnt to blessed. And that's a wonderful calling. Amen? Amen. Amen.